Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Afternoon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our sports talk show. It is Rop. That is me, Big Sook. He is right across the table from me, right over there.
Indeed. Sada.
It is Tuesday. Great Tuesday broadcast so far.
Nice sunny Tuesday as well.
Everybody's been on point. Although there was a frost delay this morning, I wasn't happy about that.
Weren't able to get out on the course.
Well, I got 9 holes in, but would have liked to have played 18, fella.
Boy, man, how have you been singled out for the greatest suffering the world has ever known?
We are broadcasting some more for you here over the next 2 hours. Among the things we will discuss is Trevor Lawrence saying no thanks to the Jets already.
I hope so. This would be wonderful if this is true.
And we do have NFL Week 7 leftovers. We've still got plenty that we haven't gotten to. Coming up tonight in the club, to my bros who have watched The Vow, which is a very hot documentary.
Yes, you brought it up multiple times, and I still have not seen it.
Yeah, there was news on that today.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil it for you, but.
Yeah, I did see the news. And speaking of documentaries, I did recently watch the.
Wait, so just to those bros who have watched The Vow.
Yeah.
Keith Raniere, who is the focal point.
Yeah, the leader.
Cult guy. He was sentenced today.
Yeah, I saw someone forward that on and I was like, oh, I should really watch that. But I got to like 4 or 5 days ago, I ended up watching the documentary on, I think it's called the Athlete A. It's on the Larry Nassar, the gymnast.
I got started on that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. Everyone involved in USA Gymnastics and Michigan State Athletics should be in prison. I don't know if I've been that angry watching something in quite some time. It is absolutely despicable how many people protected that son of a bitch for 2 decades and what he did to those little girls. It was horrific. And you know who I ended up being as mad about as anybody is the freaking parents. That how many parents just turned a blind eye because they desperately wanted little Susie to go on to gymnastic greatness. And they just turned a blind eye and fed their kids to an absolute predator. Predators, because not only was it Nassar, but also the stupid Carolis. What is it? Bella Caroli and his wife and their training center. USA Gymnastics should get bombed back to the Stone Age for that.
You know what's another good one? Have you watched the Comey Rule yet?
Is that the one on HBO?
Actually, it's on Showtime.
Showtime.
And it's Jeff Daniels plays James Comey.
Yeah, I've seen.
It's good.
That's one of those that I checked in and watched like a half hour of it, and I need to watch it from the beginning.
It's the story of James Comey and his handling of the Hillary Clinton email thing.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody has texted us on the fan text line.
You can do that, 503-250-1080.
You sure can. And they said, where did it go? It said, oh, he says, is it odd that I hear a little Russell Wilson, let's be great, in that woman's What's Your Name? So let's do some double audio. Are you ready?
Hey, gun. He is pulling. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? I'm calling the police. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Daniel Burris, okay. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Because I got on video that you pulled a gun on girls. I have it on video.
You know what though? I gotta say, she needs to work on her cardio. You can tell that Russell's a finely tuned athlete.
How do we feel about that?
Russell doesn't.
I want to die.
Dangerous doesn't
Don't
lose
die.
Breath. She's wheezing at the end of it. She's got to work on the cardio.
That was greatness. And that guy's right. There's a little Russell in her, but you're right. It's not as fit.
Needs to do some jumping jacks or some mountain climbers or something.
All right. I think we're ready for the Hot 5 at 5.
I think so.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Can't find it. There it is.
Really?
Number five.
Fun sports nugget. ESPN's College Game Day will broadcast from Augusta National on the Saturday morning of round three of the Masters.
The two shall never meet again.
November 14th. So they announced that today.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I don't really understand the reason why, but, you know.
Well, it's because they never coincide.
I know.
And it's COVID, so there's no fans, so it's just like...
One has nothing to do with the other, but...
But the Masters guy said that, you know, it was an opportunity to do something different because of COVID, and it's just going to be a weird year anyway.
Sure.
And they were like, well, you know, that could be good to maybe try to get some young College Game Day viewers to watch the Masters.
Oh.
That's what they're trying to do.
Okay. Trying to skew a little younger.
Yeah. All so, right. You know, that's November 14th.
So. Go Masters.
And Corso will be broadcasting from his pool.
Yeah, I guess he's not on there until the very end when they do a pre-tape thing at his house and they have him put on the mascot. Do you think he has any idea of what he's actually doing?
No.
Just like a caretaker's like, put this on.
I think it's been that way for freaking 20 years.
It's been a while.
With that guy. A big matchup could tip off the college basketball season the evening of November 25th. Gonzaga... Kansas.
Oh.
How about that?
Nice.
It's a small four-team tournament. It will be played in Fort Myers, Florida. The third team is Auburn, and right now nobody knows who the fourth team is going to be. There are some teams lining up.
I believe the fourth team will be COVID-19, and they will run out a devastating starting five. The bench is a little weak, though.
Yeah. But that's kind of cool.
Well, you know, they were trying
to... Because a lot of non-conference stuff is going away.
Yeah, because they were trying to do that bubble tournament. I guess they're going to do that next year. For the 21-22 season, they're going to do that little mini tournament down in Florida. But
in Orlando, right?
Yeah, in Orlando.
They're going to do a bubble next year?
Yeah, they said that they're going to push it back, whether it's a bubble or just going to have that tournament. But they're going to do something in Florida, but they said that it's going to be 21-22, not 2021.
Number three.
Oregon football is back on the practice field today following five positive COVID tests. Now, Mike has been reporting on this feverishly. What's the story there, Mike?
I didn't hear this little setup, sorry.
Feverishly reporting on the Oregon duck
Oregon
COVID
situation.
Oh, the
antigen test thing?
Ooh.
So they had five players or people.
Just hit another home run.
That's number 10.
Five players or people in the program test positive with an antigen test on Saturday, canceled the scrimmage. They came back to practice today. I think they didn't say if they're all players, but those five people need to test negative, a la Nick Saban on the...
Did they?
There's no word on that yet. On the PCR test to see if they were false positives or not.
So if they were practicing, does that mean that they were false positives, or that just means that we
it
don't
just
know?
It just means that they returned to practice.
Mean that we
so
don't
that's
know.
A non-story.
Yes. So we don't know if those players return to practice, just the Ducks themselves return to practice. Chris Ball was supposed to have a press conference at some point today, but I haven't seen any I haven't seen any news out of it.
And the Wisconsin quarterback, Graham Mertz, he tested positive for COVID again, so it is not a false positive for him.
Yes.
So that guy's out 3 weeks. Now, he threw 5 touchdowns in the opener against Illinois. Supposedly, he's pretty good, which is counterintuitive to what you think about Wisconsin quarterbacks, but their next 3 games are at Nebraska, versus Purdue, and at Michigan, and he will miss all 3.
Well, they are down to their 4-string quarterback now. They are on number 4 due to injury and COVID. And they're also saying this game may get called off because there's a rate of infection. You can't have a rate of infection on your team greater than that of the surrounding area around you, and it's inching that way. So this Wisconsin-Nebraska game may not happen if Wisconsin has any more positive tests. And it wouldn't be a forfeit. It would just be a no counties because you can't make it up.
Oh, so they just would play one less.
They would just play one less.
It's all part of Wisconsin's plan.
Yes.
To while their not quarterbacks are
playing Nebraska.
Or, I mean, sick. To, yeah, well, not play Nebraska, but just play fewer games so they can go undefeated.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was kind of, I guess we just sandwiched that.
Oh, wait. Oh, crap. Let's do it. Sorry.
It's fine. That kind of was its own, so.
There. Two, sorry. I've never done that in the history of the Hot 5 at 5.
There's always a first.
I've never had a misfire like that.
What was going on? Mike wasn't listening. A Rosarina hit another home run.
What is Mike doing in there?
I had Wisconsin facts. All hell's breaking loose.
When are they going to learn to not throw him an outside fastball? He just hammers him.
That is 10 home runs now in the postseason, most of all time.
What are we on then? 2?
I think 2.
Next Tuesday is the NFL trade deadline. Rumors are swirling the Jets are trying to trade defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. Earlier today, the Cowboys dealt defensive end Everson Griffin to the Lions for a conditional 6th-round pick. And cornerback Eli Apple told Panthers coaches that he couldn't practice today because of an injured hamstring. He has now been cut.
Oh. And thanks for coming.
Dude, I remember when that guy got drafted, thinking how good he was going to be. And
out of Ohio State. And then
sucks.
I think if you're a Seahawks fan, you're a little bummed out. I know Everson Griffin hasn't necessarily been lighting the world on fire down in Dallas, but he just a 6th-round pick, and it was only $3 million in salary, I think, the rest of the way.
Well, I saw it today. The Seahawks have the lowest amount of salary cap space in the NFL.
And it may just be they
and it's less than $3 million. They only have like $2 or $1 million left.
And that may just be what it is there just isn't any available options. But if you can't find a way to address your pass rush, I'm sorry, Jamal Adams coming back and being your main pass rusher, you're not making a deep run in the playoffs with that being the weakness.
Seahawks down to 1 healthy running back for the Niners game. It's rookie DJ Dallas. Chris Carson, as you know, is week to week. Travis Homer has a knee injury. Carlos Hyde has hamstring tightness, and Rashad Penny won't be available anytime soon. So due to COVID protocols, the Seahawks will not be able to bring in any reinforcements in time for Sunday's game against the Niners. So here's hoping Hyde can go. Well, if not, it's the rookie or maybe Homer can go.
Yeah, I mean, either that or, you know, the Chris Carson's, you know, he's going to attempt to go. I mean,
oh, he said that? They said he was not playing.
This was right after the game. He said that I thought he was week to week, but, you know, at least yesterday, the rumor was that he was pushing to play. That's probably pie in the sky, and he's probably not going to, but look, at this point, you know, it could be an all-hands-on-deck sort of situation. Or when in doubt, just let Mr. Unlimited run the ball.
Meanwhile, the Niners lose 2 more key players, wide receiver Deebo Samuel and running back Jeff Wilson Jr., who are both big parts of their win over the Patriots on Sunday. They will miss extended time with injuries.
Which, by the way, makes total sense because it's San Francisco and they can't
stay healthy.
They just can't stay healthy.
The Hot 5 is brought to you by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Is Trevor Lawrence saying no thank you to the Jets already, albeit politely?
Maybe, kind of, sort of.
We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, the World Series Game 6 is underway. Rays leading 1-0. Tony Gonsolin being very Tony Gonsolin-y.
And can someone please explain to me why he again has the orange stain all over his sleeve? Did they not wash his jersey from the last game?
My guess is urine.
Or does he just pee on his arm before every game?
He has orange pee?
Well, I guess his pee is not at a championship level. He's clearly dehydrated. What is that?
I don't know.
Like it's
his cheating substance.
His whole arm that it's all wet because you can see through it and you can see his skin, and it's not on his non-pitching arm. And so not only is the entire sleeve wet, you can see through it, but the bottom of it is orange. Did he just dip his arm in a vat of Tang before going to pitch? Why? I need
I
answers.
I bet that's it. It's his pitching arm, right?
Yeah.
He wants to go to space.
Tang.
That's the key, right? That's the key to giving up home runs?
Apparently it's not. He's given up 9 runs in 8 innings so far in the postseason.
Why isn't Walker Buehler pitching this game?
Well, because Dave Roberts is the manager.
Well, he pushed him back to game 3. Like a moron.
I don't get it. Why? You got a chance to close it out with your best arm, but no, let's wait till game 7.
I think his reasoning was he wanted, so back when he was setting up the pitching for the whole series, he put Walker Buehler in game 3, and of course the Rays won game 2 because Gonsolin in the bullpen pitched.
Yeah.
But if he had done Walker Buehler in game 2, because the Rays can't hit Walker Buehler.
No.
Then they would have been up 2-0. Who knows how the series plays out, and then you would have had Walker Buehler back for game 6. His reasoning was he wanted Walker Buehler on full rest for game 3 and full rest for game 7 if there was one.
I guess that's what you got.
And yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. But it, you know, nobody really understood how you're kind of, I mean, it feels like you're giving up games by throwing Gonsolin out there.
Certainly seems a bit strange, but
he is just not very good. And there's a couple runners on here with 2 out in the first, but they have Urias and they have May and they have some guys that can piece it together. But yeah, you would think that go Kershaw, Buehler, and the series may be over.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Also, why are they not starting Dustin May? He was really good
this
year.
Yeah, I don't know that either. They finally started Urias.
Yeah.
And that guy's been great.
Well, you saw May. May has been lights out, but maybe it was just one of those things that you just wanted him available for more games. And, you know, clearly they're okay with going multiple bullpen games because he pitched, what, 2 innings last night? Two and a half?
He was good last night.
He was great.
But he wasn't the night before or the game before. Yeah. He wasn't. So, I don't know.
Well, welcome to the world of Dave Roberts.
Let's just get a game 7, okay?
There you go.
Because doesn't this thing just feel like it should go to game 7?
Feels like it should probably go game 7. That neither team should win 2 in a row.
And then Walker Buehler will throw a no-hitter.
In his tight pants.
What if the Dodgers lose in another World Series Game 7?
Oh, I think it'd be great. Just great. Just glorious. And
ripping hearts out.
And
everywhere.
Lose it by something really bad happening.
You know, like, I don't know. Guy rounding third, falling down, but you booting the ball in center field and then having him dead to rights at the plate, but missing, and then having your reliever not back up home.
You could argue they made not four true errors, but there were 4 errors on that one play.
Yeah.
In a matter of basically 6 seconds.
And cost you a
Because you
a
had
game.
Taylor booting the ball. Mm-hmm. You had Muncy short-arming the throw home. You had Smith missing the throw home. And you had Jansen not backing up home plate.
Jansen fell to his knees. Had he just backed up home plate, then they still have him dead to rights, probably out at third because he was heading back before he realized that Smith didn't have the ball.
Oh, sports. Clemson Tigers quarterback Trevor Lawrence is leaving the door open about his football future. Despite previously saying he planned on heading to the NFL after this, his junior season.
Yeah, because he's going to graduate in December. He'll be done.
Lawrence, considered the likely number one pick in next spring's NFL draft, said he hasn't ruled out returning to Clemson for another year instead of going pro.
So we'll just have to see what happens. And by see what happens, that means are the Jets going to have the number one pick and is Adam Gase still their head coach?
He says, my mindset has been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There are a lot of things that could happen. That's his quote.
Yeah, that's code for I'm not playing for the Jets. And
but why can't he just force his way away from the Jets?
I mean, you could.
You don't have to go back to college.
It's happened before. We've seen it with Eli Manning. We've seen it with, John Elway. Someone else, there was another recent one that happened that wasn't as high profile, but said that they weren't going to go play somewhere. Name escapes me. But, you could. It just you may not want to go through that. You may not want to go through that hassle because technically the Jets could call your bluff, right, and draft you anyways, and you just would be forced to sit out and, you know, go through that whole process. So I don't know. I'm not certain, but there have been people, including some former players, that have said that if they were Trevor Lawrence, they would want nothing to do with the Jets. And I can't blame them, because even if you fire Gase, I mean, you're still dealing with the same dysfunctional organization that hasn't done squat in God knows how long. But this is always the problem. Anytime you're going to be the number one overall pick, chances are you're not ending up on a good team.
They're already asking Sam Darnold about it. And he said, for me, it's out of my control.
Yeah.
I'm here to do my best and help the team win games. Lawrence went on to say, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country or whether it's close to home, whether I stay another year, we'll work it out.
Yeah, that's he doesn't want to be in New York.
We'll work it out, bro.
And I can't blame him. And by the way, Sam Darnold, just like it's too early to say that Justin Herbert is the end all to be all. It's too early to say that Sam Darnold is a complete bust. But I'll tell you what, if I had to make a prediction, I feel much more comfortable going with Sam Darnold being a bust. Sam Darnold is not good. He just isn't. I mean, it's if you're the Jets, it's time to move on. Whether it's Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, draft your quarterback, because Sam Darnold is not the answer. And if you think you can get something for Sam Darnold on the open market, make the move. Make the move right now.
I'm looking at, and it's obviously too early to determine this, but who is even in play? So the Jets are horrible.
Yes.
0-7. Could go 0-4, although they probably won't. They'll beat somebody, right?
Oh, who knows? They're really bad. I mean,
if you're Lawrence,
they're really, really bad.
The Giants, even though Daniel, like, they're 1-6, if the Giants were to get the number one pick, they would probably trade it, right?
No, I think they would.
You think they would take Lawrence?
I think they would take Lawrence.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look,
would you want to go play there? I would if I'm.
I'd rather play there than I would with the
Lawrence.
Than I would with the Jets organization.
The Falcons are in play.
Okay.
Because they can't close out a game to save their life.
That's true.
Would you want to go there?
Yes.
Learn from Matt Ryan for a couple years?
Yeah.
Or maybe they punt on
Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, you know, gets dealt and you just go through a total rebuild. You're going to get a new coaching staff there, although maybe it ends up being Morris.
Jacksonville is certainly in play. They're terrible.
Yeah. And again, they're going to get a new coach. And
I wouldn't want to go there.
You know, all that.
Houston's 1-6, but they're not, I mean, you know.
They're not going anywhere. I mean they've got Deshaun Watson. So.
Yeah. And Cincinnati, you know, they've got Burrow.
Yeah.
So other than that, I mean, Denver looks like they're not going to get the worst or the number one pick.
No.
Minnesota's 1-5, but they'll win. They'll string together some wins, won't they?
Yeah, they're not anywhere near as bad as the Jets.
So you're looking at Atlanta, Giants, Jets, Jags.
Yep.
Most likely.
Though, I mean, and it's going to be a good quarterback class. I mean, the people are pretty high because you've got Lawrence, who, you know, is the guy. I mean, people are saying best prospect since Andrew Luck. But Justin Fields, who's really good. You've got the Trey Lance kid out of North Dakota that everyone's in love with, who we only got to see one game. Trask down at Florida that people are really high on. Who's the kid from North Carolina? Is it
Mitchell Trubisky?
It is not Mitchell Trubisky.
It's his little brother.
It is not his little brother.
It might as well be Mitchell Trubisky.
Right. They don't have good quarterbacks there. Come on, look at Trubisky.
It is not. It's Sam Howell that people are pretty high on. And then Zach Wilson is making a name for himself at BYU.
Did you mention
who else has the letter M in their first name? Mitchell Trubisky.
That's right. Did you mention that you did the North Dakota State kid?
North Dakota State kid.
How good is that guy? Everybody's raving about him.
Well, he won the Heisman at his level, whatever they, you know, I forget what they call it, but the Heisman. And he was supposed to be the guy this year, but he only got to play the one game. And, you know, North Dakota State played one game, and then that was it. And it sounds like he is not going to come back and play in the spring. Sounds like he's going to go the NFL road. So most people think he will be the third quarterback taken. It's just a matter of where, you know, where in the evaluation process does he go? But he is supposedly he's the real deal. Won a national title last year as a freshman, runs around, great athlete, big arm. I mean, people rave about him.
Now, two other teams before we go to throw out. Dallas is awful.
Yep.
And they're 2-5, mm-hmm. but they won't get the number one pick. Will they?
Again, the question.
They're capable of it.
The question is, can the Jets beat anyone? And I don't think that they can. And here's, like, at this point, if you are, I mean, it's the Cowboys, I guess, are still in play in that division.
And then the Patriots are the other team. You know, they're sitting there 2-4. They could easily pull the shoot on Cam Newton and everything and tank and get Trevor.
I just don't think that.
Because they could lose on purpose to the Jets.
I mean, realistically, I think you're talking about New York. You're talking about Jacksonville. Oh, maybe one of the NFC East teams. Maybe, but it's. I mean, the worst teams in the league.
Who are the Jets going to be?
What if Dallas just stays with DiNucci or whatever his name is?
Yeah, but they already have two wins.
Okay.
And so you're asking.
Well, so let's let them finish 2-14 and see where we go.
Yeah, the Jets here.
Who are they going to beat?
They've got the Chiefs.
Nope.
Patriots.
Nope. Well, maybe.
No.
They could. Dude, the Patriots are terrible.
They're not good. Chargers.
No.
Dolphins. Raiders.
I mean. They can maybe meet Miami with Tua. Like, who knows? Maybe Tua sucks.
Seahawks, Rams, Browns. No, I mean.
Seahawks, Rams, Browns.
There is maybe a win. Maybe.
Yeah, they ain't winning two.
Maybe. They're not winning two games.
So it's Atlanta.
Atlanta will win another game.
Yeah, Atlanta will keep winning. I mean, Atlanta's offense is great.
Yeah, all right.
Atlanta will win another game.
So let's take them out.
It's Jacksonville and it's the Jets.
I think Jacksonville will win more games too.
Probably
Bengals.
No, Cincinnati will win.
You know who's
games.
A sneaky guy to get fired next? Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
Because
he has two wins in 20 games.
Dude, well, yes, but he's got Burrow, and and they're like hanging in games.
That's why I said they'll win another game or two just because they're in close games.
But Carlos Dunlap and AJ Green are basically begging to get out of there. Like it's kind of a mutiny there, even though. Burrow's kind of masking a lot of their crappiness.
And AJ Green is pretty much quit.
You kind of feel like maybe they should be better with Burrow, but they're not. And so Zach Taylor could get turfed pretty soon.
You can make the argument that your three longest tenured guys there, AJ Green, Dunlap, and Geno Atkins, and you know, that are all really good players, stars, none of them want to be there. And they're all just being petulant children right now. That is interesting. But I just think, and remember, they've got the tie. They're 1-5-1. I just think you'll end up with the Jets or the Jags, or maybe you get a team like the Giants or I suppose the Cowboys, because if everyone just keeps getting hurt. But you know, if you're Dallas and you end up with one of those top picks, you know, Dak coming off a horrid injury, you know, what do you do? He said that they're the long term answer, but again, this is going to be a good quarterback class. It's gonna be an interesting shakeout. And if Trevor Lawrence is there, is someone willing, who isn't a top five pick, is someone willing to pay the freight to go up and get Trevor Lawrence? If you're the Jets and you're like, oh, I've got Sam Darnold.
Denver.
Yeah, is someone willing to pay to go get him?
Drew Lock's greatness, right?
Yeah.
No?
I'm not so sure.
Are you on the Drew Lock bandwagon?
I've been on the fence since last year, and he's done nothing to move me off the fence. He shows some flashes. Otherwise, he's not great. I don't know.
Of all the young quarterbacks in the league.
What a ringing endorsement.
I am so defeated by their quarterback play over the last 10 years. I'm just, I don't know.
There is only maybe three young quarterbacks in the league that I would be willing to stay put as opposed to making a move to go get Trevor Lawrence.
Is that good?
He's that good. Mm-hmm. You know, so all when right. you look at the Jets, no. Miami, no. I'd pull that shoot on Tua or Sam Darnold in a heartbeat. Cleveland, I'd pull the shoot on Mayfield. Burrow, I wouldn't. Burrow could be special and has shown you glimpses. Jacksonville, you pull the shoot on. Denver, you pull the shoot on him. New York, the Giants, you certainly pull the shoot on Daniel Jones, who is a turnover machine. I wouldn't do it with Kyler Murray. I would do it with golf. I would do it with Jimmy G. You know who, honestly, it'll be interesting to see is right now, I don't think you would do it with Justin Herbert. I think it's been a brief period of time, but what Justin Herbert has shown you, if you're the Chargers, you just sit there and say, I'm really happy with what I got and let's see what the future holds. It might change over the next, you know, whatever, 10 games, but Herbert has shown you right now in a brief window that is a franchise guy. The rest of those teams, the Drew Locks of the world and Daniel Jones, absolutely not. Derek Carr, they haven't shown you.
Carr,
that
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Like you would replace Carr?
Yes.
So you got the Chargers, Cardinals, Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Kansas City and Baltimore are fine.
Yep.
And who else? That's it. That, you know.
Well, I mean, you get teams like Green Bay and, you know, and all that.
Yeah, but those guys are getting older.
Yeah, they're getting older. My point is,
tampon.
When you bring in a guy that supposedly is a generational talent, see what Andrew Luck did to the Colts, who went from the worst team in football to a playoff team. Maybe when he was healthy.
Houston's got a guy.
Yeah, Houston, you're not doing anything with Deshaun. because there's no such thing as a sure thing, which is why I think if you know you have a franchise guy.
Maybe Buffalo?
No, I'd pull the trigger on that. I think Josh Allen's good. But Josh Allen's come back down to reality a little bit. If you trust your scouting department and you hear that Trevor Lawrence is the best since blank, and again, this is up to your scouting department because maybe there's some people that aren't as high as on him as others. But everything you hear about that guy, you just don't turn down generational talents. And it would be the most Jets thing ever if they turned down Trevor Lawrence and kept Sam Darnold, who has not been good, period.
All right, Seahawks question is coming up next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So the NFL trade deadline is a week from today. Everson Griffin got dealt today. Cowboys just signed him.
Yeah.
And now they're punting on him.
They're putting on him. And, you know, he hasn't been super productive. I mean, no one on that defense has been super productive. They got him a sixth-round pick, and then, you know, they whatever. I think he's $3 million left on his deal.
Lions got him.
Lions got him. And so it may have been a case where either, you know, Seattle wasn't that interested or, you know, just a financial thing. I know Seattle is up against it with the cap, but you know, there were players available, and he is a name that has been a constant producer in the NFL. And again, I would have liked to have seen him in Seattle. I know Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, both in Cincinnati, but again, they're more expensive than Everson Griffin. So if it's a money thing and Seattle doesn't have the space, then you know that doesn't work either.
All right, here's my question about the Seahawks, and I don't know their cap situation, so this is merely a question. Okay, I'm not pointing fingers.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that when you have Russell Wilson and you have what you believe to be a really good team,
yeah,
and what has shown to be a really good team so far, with one glaring weakness, which is their pass rush.
Yes.
I kind of don't understand why they didn't sign Clowney. Now again, I don't understand the money part of it because I don't follow the cap part. So maybe it was clearly a money thing, but is it really worth, I guess the general question is this, is it really worth not overspending if he is exactly what's missing from an otherwise really damn good football team that could win you a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds as if, again, not knowing all the details on it, it sounds as if they constantly tried to make something happen. Sounds like everyone tried to make something happen with Clowney, and he just had a number in his head.
Well, how did Tennessee get him then?
Well, they signed him on a one-year deal.
Well, you know? Why didn't Seattle do it? Like, again, if you wanted Clowney, you could have gotten him. And I'm just asking the question, is it really worth not overspending? I mean, I get it. You got to be smart with your monies.
Yeah.
Totally understand that. But when you are Seattle and you've got Russell Wilson in his prime and just a killer offense, you must get a pass rusher. You have to. He is that guy. I mean, is that worth just, well, it's too expensive. Can't do it. Why?
Well,
like you're in a window.
Like I said last segment, I found the tweet. Seattle has $1.3 million in cap space.
Okay, so then why were they in play for Clowney?
Well, my guess is this was obviously before Jamal Adams, and there were other moves that came across. So, I mean, I remember back in the offseason, and I don't think this is revisionist history. I remember that they just kept saying they, and this is one of the reasons why I suppose they didn't go out and get like an Everson Griffin, is that there was just kind of a holding space there for Clowney. And I think the idea with Clowney was you had to get some sort of longer deal done so you could space the deal out as opposed to just a 1 year.
Fair.
I think his hit this year for the Titans is like 13 million. I gotta look it up now.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe he for
yeah,
I thought
it's about,
he,
it's about 13 mil.
That dude's really freaking good, but I get that. Okay, so let's go next level down.
Yeah.
All these trades, like Everson Griffin, before Dallas signed him.
Yep.
JJ Watt. Now he's more expensive, but Carlos Dunlap, you know, there are guys out there that the Seahawks could get.
It is
that are not as expensive as Clowney that kills both of those birds.
The Everson Griffen one, I thought at $3 million that you'd have to,
with one stone. Does that make sense?
At $3 million, I find it hard to believe that you can't find a way. You can't find a way to work that under. If you're a million and a half away, unless you just don't think he has anything left and you just, you know, or maybe the mental health thing scared you away. But when he came back after that, he played at a Pro Bowl level. And I think he's 32 years old and is a proven producer. That's the one in a sixth round pick. I just don't get it unless there was just no way to financially get it under the cap.
Yeah.
And we won't know that because, again, when you're not in the front office and you don't know about moves you can make and wiggling this, I just know that when you hear about the cap, there's lots of ways to finagle your way around it.
Sure.
And that's why you have a cap specialist, and Seattle has been really good at it. I just don't know at this point if there is going to be a better, cheaper option than what happened with Everson Griffin. So,
and who is the dude that Ngakoue just got dealt.
Yeah.
To the Ravens.
To the Ravens.
What a great move.
Yes. So you had both teams now that picked up I think Ngakoue at this point in his career better, but two guys that over the last decade have been 100% proven difference makers and both and one contending team and then another team. I guess you're thinking that with an extra playoff spot, maybe you can dig your way out of something in Detroit. But if you're Seattle, I don't know.
Let's wait and see what they do. Trade deadline is Tuesday. Maybe they'll make a move, but I don't understand if they don't, I understand a cheaper Clowney.
Yeah.
A way cheaper Clowney. Totally get that. But if they make no moves,
I just think you're
don't understand what they're doing.
I don't either. Because some people saying that, when Adams comes back, he's no.
Well, he's a nice player.
He is a nice player.
And they do need him back.
He is a nice player. And certainly he is a guy that can blitz from the secondary. I think, in fact, he's your leading sacker, right? He's tied. I think he's got two and a half. No one on this team has three sacks, right? And you don't create pressure. Arizona dropped back 48 times, I believe, and you didn't hit Kyler Murray once. And my thing is, when you play the better teams in this league, when you play the elite teams, and we've seen this, the Kansas Cities of the world, right? You have to be able to generate a pass rush. If you are forced to bring pressure,
that's right.
The good passing teams in this league,
they're going to kill you.
Will pick you apart.
Yes.
And to me, as good as Seattle is,
that's what I'm saying.
Seattle will not make a deep run with this pass rush. And yet here we are a couple days away from the trade deadline and seemingly
everyone can see what you just said.
Yes. Nothing.
I don't understand what they're doing.
I don't know.
Here's another guy. This guy's making $2 million. He's on a terrible team that already just made a trade today. Alden Smith.
Yes.
Why are you not on the phone with the Cowboys about dumping Alden Smith?
And I'll tell you what, Alden Smith has been a revelation.
He's been great.
I know that guy's had a checker pass. He's been the best defensive player on the Dallas roster.
Russell Wilson doesn't even have to tell him to be great.
No, he just has been great. So maybe Dallas is just like, nope, we're going to sign him in the offseason. Find a way to get it done. You are right there in the mix.
I'm not even a Seahawks fan.
As one of the best teams in the NFC.
Makes no sense.
Make a move because you, as good as you are, you will not get to where you want to go with this pass rush.
Do you want a bonus sports segment?
Yes.
Because you're going to get it.
Oh, I love bonus.
You're going to get it. Some wrap-up stuff from Week 7 in the NFL next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the club is next. A lot of our NFL Week 7 leftovers here on the show notes will be presented tomorrow in the Hump Day Roundup. We have that much to discuss. We've yet to talk about Dallas and the hit on
Andy Dalton.
Andrew Dalton.
You know, he's not going to be suspended.
Well, he shouldn't. He got his bell rung.
Well, is it Bostic, I think, the linebacker?
Yeah.
If that doesn't get you suspended in the NFL, I'm not certain what does.
We've yet to talk about the Patriots and Cam Newton and how good Tom Brady looks and the Bills and things. So that will be tomorrow.
Two pieces of audio for the Pats.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some audio, sports audio for you. NFL audio. Come on. Look at us.
Action packed.
Also, there's one NFL story that no one's talking about and it involves COVID, but we'll have to do that tomorrow too. Did you see that the Panthers, my Panthers, whom I really like Matt Rhule, I just think he's good.
Yeah.
And they're playing, not tomorrow, but they're playing Thursday against Atlanta. And, whoa.
Excuse me.
Yeah. You okay? Yeah. What happened over there?
Nothing. Just a little.
You don't even have any food or drink. You usually eat and drink right about now.
I have had nothing to eat or drink since like 1 o'clock.
I will say, to peel back the curtain a little bit, you're quite a snacker.
Yeah.
You eat a lot of snacks.
Well, it's my way of not going home and then gorging myself.
Totally understand that because I never do. Mm-hmm. And I go home and I'm so hungry and I just pound food.
Because for me, if
pound town, baby.
The last, your last time eating is like 1 o'clock for me before I head into the office. And by the time you get home, and if you have to make dinner, even it's 7:45, 8 o'clock.
You don't gotta justify anything to me, man.
Yeah, it can get bad. There's nothing worse.
There's always carrots or an apple or maybe some crackers.
I try to do the healthy.
I've seen some mixed nuts over there.
That old healthy eating, and it keeps you from eating Doritos or whatever it is when you get home. There's nothing worse than when you realize that you've probably had 1,000 calories in crap before you eat dinner. That's not a good thing.
I try really hard not to have snacks during the day. Like, I try really hard just to have the willpower just to not eat snacks.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks.
Done.
Snacks Lynch?
Yeah. I'm going to call them snacks.
Sometimes I break and I'll have one, but generally I try really hard, at least on weekdays, to just have the three meals and that's it.
So did you see the Panthers game tying field goal just short?
Yes, the
65-yard field goal.
Which would have been in the record, right?
That would have been a record.
It would have been the all-time record. When he kicked it, I thought it was good.
And he missed it by an inch.
I swore it was good, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching it and I was like, well, that's in. And I don't think they showed a very good view, at least from what I saw. Because I think I was watching on the Red Zone channel. I wasn't watching the game. And the Red Zone, they did not give me a very good look at how much it missed by.
Yeah, they only showed the miss and they went, well, that's it.
Yeah, but it was right on line and damn it, it looked like he had the leg on it.
Barely missed it. Do you think we'll ever see a 70-yarder?
Nothing.
Because these kickers just keep getting better and better, man.
Yeah, and the legs are getting,
maybe in Denver.
It wouldn't shock me.
Do you remember the old days when...
Where was that? Where was the Carolina kick at?
It was in New Orleans.
It was in New Orleans. Okay, so I was going to say either...
It was in the Dome.
It was either in Denver, and not during the wintertime. But Denver, nice weather, or in a dome. I guess maybe if you were playing whether you had a good wind to your back.
Do you remember when 50 yards was just like, oh, man. Yeah. Anytime, they're probably not going to make that.
Yeah, you were kicking above 50, and you just assumed it wasn't going to work. Now, you've seen teams line up at 48, and they're like, it's a gimme. Like, they kneel down, and they'll kick it on third down
Matt
at 48.
Matt Prater just kicked a 48-yard extra point.
Yeah.
For the win. And drilled it.
They're getting more and more accurate, and they're getting longer and longer.
Pretty amazing.
Absolutely. So nothing will surprise me anymore with technology advances, training advances, all this stuff, specialization, guys getting, doing this, younger and younger and younger. Yeah. Eventually you'll see it. Records will continue.
70 yards.
Records will continue to be broken. I mean, I guess there's a limit to it because I think just naturally you have to get the ball a certain you can't really kick a balloon ball. You kind of have to kick a line drive. And so, that's the... It's not the distance on kicks. You look at guys that are kicking extra points. It's just the matter of you got to get it up over the line. If you didn't have what they should do, if you wanted real excitement, is you should have a you shouldn't have the on field goals. It just like a free throw.
No defensive line.
Yeah, no line. And then there'd be no more punting. You'd have guys lining up for 75-yard field goals.
That would be fun.
It would be. And here's the thing. Like, if you miss it, they get the ball right there.
Yeah.
And so they're, those long field goals, it'd be awesome.
Because they never really block field goals anymore.
Nah, not really.
You never really see that.
But on those long kicks, they can get blocked because you got to kick a little bit of a line drive.
Why do you think kicks are being blocked less?
Kickers are just getting better. They're able to kick it longer and they're able to get it up faster.
Nike hasn't made an awesome kicking shoe.
I think most of them
changed the game.
I think most of them use little soccer cleats now.
Do they?
Yeah.
Why?
Because soccer shoes are meant to kick.
They're
things.
Harder.
They've got little they got little grooves on them, and they're meant to kick things. Cleats are not meant to be kicked. There's not a kicker in the NFL that uses a football shoe. They're all
well. They have kicking shoes.
Yeah, but I think kicking shoes are just soccer cleats. I don't know if there's a specific NFL kicking shoe. I think they're just...
I want to interview an NFL kicker.
I think they're just soccer cleats. And I know that because...
About all things kicking.
Everyone in the locker room always made fun of their little kicking shoe.
All right. Well, we got to go.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to go with me?
Where are we going?
Well, I got to go to the bathroom.
Well, I don't want to go with you. I think that could be a bit awkward.
Hold my hand.
Hand in your back
pocket. There's no one in the building.
And in your back pocket. Well, it's 2020. I think it's okay.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
I feel like that violates the harassment policy. I just took a training course on this.
And oh, did you take it?
I did.
How'd
well,
you do?
It was due like 3 days ago. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you guys do it?
Yeah.
How long
yeah.
did it take you?
35, 40 minutes.
I'll tell you, yeah. there was one thing about it that was really pissing me off.
You can't fast forward?
No, not oh, even that.
I would never want to do that.
No, me neither.
The one thing that frustrated me was they repeated the same line like 9 times.
Here's the thing.
If about you, where you can report it?
If you give me a question and I answer it, and I answer it correctly.
Oh, yeah.
But you, so like, it's like, and what should have Susie done in this situation? Yeah. And I say, report to, you know, whoever. Click on it.
About Mike Lynch, yes.
About Mike Lynch and where he touched me on the doll. Sure, right? And I click on that. What they would tell me is there would be a little screen that would pop up that would say, you need to spend more time
yes.
on this question.
You were rushing through it.
And I'm like, you son of a bee. I got it right.
No, you were rushing through it and they knew it.
I got it
right. And they know it doesn't matter.
No, I'm a faster reader than they assume. And nope. I finished reading.
You must.
Every page, I would read it.
You
everything.
Must digest.
Spend more time on this page, you jerk.
I
read it, know it.
That honestly, was like maybe 5 cumulative minutes of my time was the button saying, like the, spend more yes. time on this page.
I'm not going to lie. The third time that it told me to spend more time on the page, after I specifically waited like an extra 5 to 10 seconds on the page to click on it, there was an audible F-bomb like drop throughout the house to where people were like, are you okay?
Pretty annoying.
Yes. No.
But now we don't. Now we know.
You don't get to tell me that I need to spend more time when I got it correct.
Now we know how to not sexually harass.
Yes.
Good thing we took that course.
You just kind of sexually harassed me.
I did?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
You asked me if I wanted to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of.
That's not okay. It's not okay.
All right. Well, I will. Can I say one more thing about our sexual harassment training video?
I think we're supposed to break, and then when
Who
we
cares?
Come back, we can talk about it.
So Intercom gave us a sexual harassment training video.
Sexual harassment panda.
It was all women being sexually harassed, and I didn't like that.
Yeah. Where was the men?
Where? That's right.
I will
Where
tell
is
you,
the powerful female boss seducing the poor
were,
little host of the afternoon show in Portland?
There were some pictures that depicted the female boss being the harasser of a male employee.
I was thinking that was the other way because, to be honest with you, if I've ever been harassed, it's by other men in the building. And if you want to know why men are worse than women, men sexually harass men and women. It's just the reality of it.
I also, like Isaac, did not get 100% on the first time through on the test. Because I didn't realize that the first two questions were pick all that apply.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I picked one.
Right.
And they were like, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
go back and take it again. And I was like, but I got it right. Oh, pick all
both.
That apply.
I had to retake it like 4 times for that very reason. I was like, what? I'm clicking the right one.
looks like I did the best on the sexual harassment training.
Yes, you did. And yet you failed in real life.
And yes, I didn't learn a damn thing.
You just invited him to hold your quote-unquote hand in the bathroom.
No, I meant unsafe. My hand. I didn't mean my ween.
I feel unsafe
that
right now.
That would be too much.
You would have said your ween if you meant your ween?
Yeah. All right. Well, damn it. The club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.